stay tuned for the Sunday morning wake-up call on 94.7 WPVC-LP Charlottesville. The wake-up call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Now here's your host, Rick Moore.
And thank you so much for being with us today. It is Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there, especially my mother. Woo-hoo! Thank you, Mom, for turning me into a lovely, super loving, happy, excellent, beautiful, wonderful person added to this world. If only everyone knew what a great thing you have done for global wonderfulness. Isn't that right, guest Lee Channing?
Absolutely, and maybe everybody already knows.
Well, they should pay more attention just so, and tell me that.
Absolutely.
And tell my mother that. Give her a call. It is Sunday, May 8th, Mother's Day. Please, everyone has a mother. You may not have a mother that's alive. You may not have a mother that you have the best relationship with. But everyone has a mother with someone that you have a motherly relationship with. Please contact them and let them know how appreciative you are of that relationship. And you can do that at about 12:01.
Absolutely.
That's right. Our guest today here on Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, an old friend of mine, an old friend of Sunday Morning Wake Up Call in our previous life on another station, Lee Channing, here with us today. Lee Channing, a local psychic, a local intuitive analyst who's been with us for quite some time. Lee, you're here today to talk about a variety of things. We'll take calls a little later in the hour for those who have questions, who have concerns about a variety of things. We've always talked, and gosh, how long have we been doing this now?
I think the first show I did with you was 1999. That sounds like a Prince song, Blessings to Prince, but I really do believe it was 99, if I remember so. It's been quite a few years.
That's a long time. and so we've done at least one show a year, sometimes two.
Well, I think usually more like two or three. It seems like we did it sometimes every quarter or every 6 months.
Lee has always takes calls on a variety of topics, more often than not about careers, relationships, and health. We'll give out the phone number 434-284-9470. Think of us as WPVC 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville 94.7. So 284-9470 to talk to Lee Channing today. We'll get into that in just a few minutes. The phone lines will be open. This is the first time here on WPVC with Lee Channing, and I have no idea what to expect in terms of listeners and phone calls. But there's a lot to learn, a lot to talk about with Lee Channing. Lee, one of the first things you always talk about is tell your story, because you often hear people go, psychic? Yeah, what a intuitive analyst. My goodness, what in the world is that? Tell me and tell the listeners your story about how did you find your skill?
Oh, and that's always a good question. I haven't repeated it for quite a while now. So actually, when I was a child, I knew that I could sort of talk to the animals. The sick animals in the neighborhood would come to my door, much to my mother's dismay. And I thought everybody did. And I knew that I saw colors around people. I saw lights around people. Again, I thought everyone did. By the time I was a teenager, I realized that that was a little different, and everybody didn't do that, and maybe I shouldn't say anything about it. So for a number of years, I tried to just ignore the fact that many times I would see lights around people. I would know who was in my home before I opened the door. I could sense their energy. And so when I was in my early 20s, I began to have clairvoyant episodes. I didn't even know what it was. It was actually quite frightening. I would see a picture in my mind's eye of something. The first few were things like a car accident, things that would happen that were not good things. They were very sort of negative energy, and it was extremely frightening. And I thought, well, there's something happening to me. I'm losing my mind, actually, is what I thought. And I was thankfully hooked up with a wonderful parapsychologist at the University of Virginia who had worked with Dr. Ryan down at Duke in the 50s, I guess it was, doing ESP experiments. And Dr. Pratt explained to me that I was clairvoyant. And, of course, I said, what does that mean? And he said, well, you see things that aren't right in front of you. You see them in your mind's eye while they're happening. It's not a, you know, it's not a precognitive thing. It's not seeing something that's going to happen to you tomorrow. It was actually seeing things at the moment. And he helped me. I read lots of books. I learned how to turn that off. I did not want to see things that I didn't like seeing. But then I realized that there was something there I needed to work with. And I knew it would come back if I didn't really work with it in practice. So I moved to the University of Minnesota. Moved to Minnesota, went to the university there for a few years and joined the Minnesota Society for Parapsychological Research. Began to do work with hauntings. Really began to understand the intellectual and the emotional aspect of being clairvoyant and reading energy. So once I learned that you could control it 95% of the time. You know, sometimes things would still come to me uninvited, but I realized that I could read energy of people if I focused on them. I would never focus on anyone without their permission, but if you ask me a question, I could look at your energy and I could see the way your energy was responding, and I could give you my intuitive guidance as to the way that you could step into the response to that situation and make it be the most spiritual thing. And I did have one thing happen recently that I have to share with you, because we've always talked about what's the difference in a psychic and an intuitive consultant, an intuitive analyst. And I've always said, well, it's really, you know, kind of the same thing, but many times psychic just give predictions. And when you're, you know, a consultant in intuitive work, I read energy. We talk about your life situation.
You're promoted here today as a psychic slash intuitive analyst. And you just mentioned clairvoyant is how you sort of defined yourself.
Absolutely. Well, I had a woman come to me for a reading recently. She's a nurse. I've been doing readings for her for probably 10 years. And she comes about once a year, and we go over her life circumstance, and we talk about positive energy. We talk about her energy, talk about the colors active in her energy. And she was sitting there. Now, she's already been coming to me for at least 10 years, maybe more. And she says, I have a friend that wants to find a good psychic. Do you know one? Well, for a second, I thought she was joking. And then I realized she was very serious. And I said, well, what do you mean? And she said, well, she doesn't want an intuitive consultant. She doesn't want someone to help her, like, work through her life and guide her and give her spiritual resources. She wants somebody just that will make predictions and tell her things. And I realized I am obviously not, in her mind, a psychic. I am definitely more of an energy consultant, a life coach, all those words you can put on it. But that was, I had to think about you when she said that, because we go through this on the radio every time.
Rick Moore, Sunday morning wake-up call. This is 94.7 WPVC. Write down the phone number, 284-9470. You're welcome to call us up today. Lee Channing is here. She is a clairvoyant.
Yes.
An intuitive analyst.
That's what my license plate says. And I've actually had people beep at me, open their window, and say, do you have a business card? My granddaughter was in the car the other day, and this woman is beeping. And she said, what's wrong with her? And I looked, and she ran, came up beside me and said, do you have a business card? So, of course, you know, I did found a card and threw it through the window to her. So.
And here's your chance today to ask a clairvoyant a question, if you'd like, about a relationship that you have. Maybe you have a question about your job, your career. Maybe there's a health issue. It doesn't have to be about yourself, correct? It can be about a family issue, someone else.
Right. Well, I tune into your energy when you ask me the question, and I don't go deeply into, don't call me and ask me if your husband's having an affair, because I, number one, would not ask that energy, you know, of that. But yes, how you could relate to your husband, how you could better relate to your boss, those kinds of things, totally acceptable. It's about working with your energy and making it your life more content.
And again, phone number 284-9470. We're here today to take calls if you'd like. Lee, one of the things that you've done, one of the major things on your list of skills is working with colors.
Yes.
So you've written a book.
I have.
Let's see, Intuitive Color Awareness Guide.
Absolutely.
People can find that.
Well, yeah, Amazon, I have them here in Charlottesville in my office. Some people like, you know, to come and get a signed copy, which is fine. And it's really about using color in your life. It's an amazing tool. It's free. The way you, you know, whether it's the way you dress, the clothes that you put on in the morning, if you want to feel a certain way, if you want to go to court, you want to wear, you know, wear your dark blue. If you want to feel active and a bright, you know, you may want to put on your yellow or red shirt. It really does make a difference. And I know most people listening will go, you know, every time I wear that green shirt, I feel a little different. Every time I wear that red shirt, I feel safe or I feel angry, because colors have, you know, good and bad effects. They really do. All colors are not good or bad. I mean, no color is good or bad. They all have their ups and downs. So it's good to know how it makes you feel.
When you go to court, you wear dark blue.
Absolutely.
Is that why every attorney I know
wears
blue?
How many have you seen? And politicians. Blue is about communication. Blue is the throat center in your body. And it's about speaking your truth. If people want to listen when you have on blue, people think you may be honest. If you went to court in a bright yellow shirt, you're going to draw too much attention. Think about that. How would the judge feel? You might get too much attention. You might be criticized. They might think you're trying to be smart and that you know everything and you're overly bright. So color really makes a difference. When you meet someone for the first time, you might want to think, how do I want to portray myself? Usually you need to be you. And if you wear bright yellow all the time, then don't stop. But many times when you're going into a certain situation, you really want to think about, the color has feeling. I mean, put on a shirt many times. I have a friend who is blind, and he could actually feel the difference in color on not every article, but on many articles, because color is a vibration, and you can feel a difference. A blue shirt's going to be more calming than a bright red shirt. You may feel very active in your red shirt. You may want to go jogging. But if you want to meditate or spend some quiet time, you know, the bright, bright colors are probably not the best choice.
So let's talk about color.
Got it.
We'll play an old game that we used to play in the previous version of Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, which is tell me what my shirt is doing. Now, I recently found myself needing to buy some new shirts. Even I, the single older male, decided that my shirts were too ratty to wear out if I was going anywhere other than, you know, my job allows, sometimes needs me to wear beat up old shirts, depending on what I'm going to be doing for the day. But if I'm going to do anything other than go, you know, come straight home from work anywhere other than in my car. So I went and bought some new shirts. And today I intentionally put on one of my newer shirts, knowing that Lee Channing was going to be judging my shirt.
How many times in the past have I told you, well, it used to be a green shirt until it was so faded that you can't see what color it is.
That's right.
I could tell. This is a new shirt. It's a very nice. This is a good shirt to wear to court. This is a shirt about communication.
So what's the color? Tell our listeners the color.
I wouldn't call it a dark blue, but it's a darker blue. It's a medium to dark blue. No, it doesn't have any green in it. To make it teal, you have to a little more green. I mean, it's a good blue. I mean, you know, it's a good shade of blue. And it really does. It feels calm, you know, and it really does make a difference how you feel when you wear that shirt. This shirt is very open to being calm and relaxed, but yet your words will come out. When you wear blue, people can hear that sort when you're when they're seeing you, not necessarily on the radio, but when they're seeing you, you kind of get the feeling of the words a little bit stronger when you're wearing a color that opens up their energy center, if they're open to it. So that's a perfect shirt. I noticed when I walked in the door that, number one, it wasn't faded. Number two, it's a beautiful shade of blue. So good job. Good job.
As opposed to, again, in the past, I'm not known for my sartorial selections. You know, for me, it's I wear it until it wears itself out.
Right.
Because I'm not, my job isn't public oriented.
Right.
And so it's wear it until it, you know, until it's given up a good death.
Right. Right.
And so in the past, what would you have said about this after it's been through 50 washings and has some of the, you know, small holes in the back and, you know, right, maybe under the arm?
Well, see, that can be good or bad. That all depends. If you're trying to make an impression and you know you have holes in the back of your shirt, you're going to be less apt to put forward your best energy if you know you have holes in your shirt. Whereas when you're on the radio, people aren't seeing your shirt. They don't know you have holes. So you would continue to feel calm and relaxed and everything is fine. So, you know, you can wear the same shirt and have several different energies. The color is going to usually be the same, even if it's faded. The color still has that same type of vibration. So some of it is how you feel. Some people feel much better in a nice, worn, casual shirt than they do in a crisp, you know, put on a dress shirt and a tie. A lot of people aren't as comfortable. You know, take the tie off, you're more comfortable. So again, that's energy flow. That's how you feel. It's not just that the tie pinches your neck. There are a lot of men, women too, for that matter, that don't want something tight around their neck when they have to talk. You know, there are a lot of people, that's the only way they'll be. My husband's grandfather lived to be almost 101. And up until a couple of months before he died, there was a shirt and tie every single day. He was not himself until he put on a crisp shirt and a tie. So imagine being 100 and still feeling, but that was his energy. That was the way he was most comfortable. Whereas some people never want to dress up, or, you know, some people want a white shirt. Some people want a white shirt every single day. That was his energy. He was so active and so alert and so himself all the time that, you know, I don't remember ever seeing him in a colored shirt. But that was exactly who he was, and that's where he was comfortable.
11:15 here on the Sunday morning wake-up call. Our guest today, Lee Channing. We're talking about colors. You're welcome to call up, talk about colors, ask questions. 284-9470. That's 434-284-9470 if you're listening to us streaming out there. Questions for Lee Channing. She is a clairvoyant. Talk about careers, health, relationships. Lee, you said earlier that colors always have a positive, but they also have a drawback.
Absolutely.
So aside from the fact that I've chosen this shirt and it's fairly new and fresh and makes me feel comfortable, but what are the pros and any cons
Some
that
cons.
I should be aware of?
Well, sure. I mean, every color has its cons as well. For blue, it's pretty natural. If you are feeling blue.
I'm not going to court today.
Are you feeling blue? That when you look back
at
some
of
these,
not if you're here. It makes me happy.
I'm in the pink. That's right, yeah. I'm wearing pink. Yeah, I'm in the pink, but I'm feeling blue. When you're green with envy. Envy is, in the, you know, when you start looking at some of those. So the downside of blue, if the healthy side is communication and speaking and relaxing and being calm, the downside is too much blue. You're going to feel sadness, grief. Those are blue things. Sleep issues. Blue is the sleep center. So you have to be careful. You may feel, if you're having a bad blue day, you could feel sad. You wouldn't be able to communicate very easily. Your words just would not come. It's the opposite of the positive thing. And you know, you feel like maybe you didn't get enough sleep or you want to sleep more. So every call, you kind of split it down the middle. And the positive is, yes, I can speak my words honestly. But then the downside be, could be I don't feel very well. I don't feel like talking today. I don't really feel like sharing my words today. So when you take it, it's sort of a mirror effect. When you have one, it's the other. When you have blue issues in your energy, that throat center, you either are sleeping too much or too little. It's never, I can't get enough sleep. It's, I can't wake up anymore. I'm sleeping too much. I'm sleeping 10 hours a night instead of my 7 hours a night. So, you know, every color has that. Now, the darker the colors, the energy centers start at red, which you probably remember. And I know you have the book, but it comes up from the base of your spine. There's red, orange, yellow is in the solar plexus, green is the heart center, blue is the throat center, purple is the third eye, and then pink, white, silver, all sort of at the top of your head. So the heavier the color, the lower the color. Red is a very heavy a color that most people could feel easier. So if you go into red, you can either be angry, that literally, I am so angry I'm seeing red, or boy, I feel so active and ready to be running around the block. I want to feel good about my physical body. Or my physical body's having a really hard day. I feel tired. I feel heavy. So it's the difference. The blue tired was I didn't get enough sleep. The red down is I feel heavy and slow.
Can you tell something about a person's personality by what they say is their favorite color, or by somebody who says, I don't really have a favorite color? It's sort of dependent on, you know, what we're talking about?
Absolutely. And many people will have one favorite color all of their lives. Purple has been my favorite color my entire life. It's sort of, quote, my color. But every 2 to 3 years, most of us, and I've done this work for 35 years, most people tend to shift their energy patterns a little bit, which is good. That means you're not continuously working on a red issue of taking care of your physical body, of working on anger, of releasing anger, working on courage, or you're not working on the blue issues all the time. So every couple of years, I've had people come in and go, I used to hate blue, and now I want to wear blue all the time. Or for some reason, I've been buying pink shirts recently. So it just means that you're going into a different phase, you know, a different energy pattern.
11:20 here on the Sunday morning wake-up call. Our guest today is Lee Channing. She's a local clairvoyant. Talking about colors, we'll be glad to talk about your question, your concern, your problem. You're welcome to call up and ask about your mother, if you'd like. Happy Mother's Day out there, May 8th. You're welcome to call us up, 434-284-9470. All right. Thank you so much. Again, Lee Channing here today. She's a local clairvoyant. We have opened the phone lines. You are welcome to call up yourself. Here's a question that I had before we got on air today from somebody who asked me to remain anonymous. This person is in the process of looking for a new home to live. They're unsure about whether their home will be local or whether it will be a little bit further away, because this is also dependent upon their partner's job. And the partner doesn't know whether their job will be local or a little further away. And this is all going down in the next 2 months.
Got it.
And so there's a lot of, I think the word they used was swimming.
To try to figure out the next right step, because that's a pretty important life decision. You know, when you're thinking about where to live, obviously when you are ungrounded, which, you know, when you're in the midst of making these major life decisions, it can be a very difficult time, because then you get yourself a little confused when you start going over, well, should we do that or can we do that or should you do that? When you're making decisions as a couple or a family, I've been there plenty of times. I know that's very difficult as to, you know, I left Virginia, moved to Minnesota, moved to Oregon, moved back to Virginia with children and family. And so I know that kind of, you know, are we doing the right thing at the right time? And sometimes you will get a very clear answer in your own energy. You'll know, yes, this is the right place. The best thing to do when you're facing a situation like this is to sit down and literally close your eyes, do it one at a time. You don't want to do all of your energy work for a decision like this together, even though it's a mutual decision. You want to do it separately and see what you come up with. Maybe one evening, you know, one sit in the other room and one, you know, be separate and say, when I really feel this out, where do I really want to live? What's my intuitive self telling me? Not my heart, not my mind, but what's really going to be the right thing? Then you can go, okay, compare your notes. Did both of you come up with maybe a little farther away is going to be the best thing for us? That's sort of what I'm feeling today. The problem is things do change as jobs get closer. When the energy is far away, when the job hasn't been determined yet, you know, you can make the best decision, but you always need to leave it open. Where you live is extremely important, even more so than some people think, because you are planting your energy there. It's very hard to be kind of footloose and fancy free and moving around a lot. Even people who travel a lot, some people deal with it better. But it's a difficult thing because your energy needs to plug in. You need to have a home where you feel safe and you can plug in. The distance that you travel to work is not as important as the feel of that home. So the best thing to do is to pick one or two places and go see how it feels, see how the energy feels. You know, don't let the work, don't let the career be the demanding energy. Don't let it take over. Let it be where you and your partner prefer to live. Where would you two like to live? Then you can worry about the job. So make sure, literally, I know it's hard, but you sort of take the job out and move it to the side a little bit. For you right now, as soon as you said a little farther out, that had a lot more energy. Now, that can mean that that's where your subconscious is feeling. That's what you're feeling at the moment. That's what another person is feeling at the moment that's feeding into this. But you have to do it. You know, let your mind change. You know, be very flexible. Some people go into a decision like, I'm going to work in the middle of the city, so I need to live in the middle of the city. And they don't open up the energy. So you're really good at that. I've known you for years. You can open up the energy and see what happens and investigate both areas and see. I think you will know pretty easily where you're leaning. I don't think it's going to be an issue.
All right. Call up with your questions. 284-9470. That's 434-284-9470. Ask questions about your career, your health, your home, your pets. We've taken all kinds of questions in the past.
Absolutely. I still communicate with some people that called into the show years ago. A woman called in with a goat who was ill, and we talked about how to work with healing her goat and the colors to put around her goat. She got blankets of certain colors, and the vet had said the goat was going to live, I think, for a couple of months. And 2 years later, she sent me an email and said, oh, by the way, the goat's still here. There's been some interesting callers come through the show.
I think Lazarus may be listening to us talk today.
Absolutely.
For those who don't know, my old dog Lazarus, who would come to the radio station, I would specifically bring him on days that Lee Channing was there, because he would walk up to Lee and put his snout in Lee's lap as though that was the only way he could tell Lee that I kept the temperature at the cabin far too cold for
that was so clear. He came to me and said, you know, tell Rick, that was, you know, I am freezing. It is cold in the house, and you weren't surprised. So.
No, it was cold for everybody, except for Dominion Power, I think.
Right,
it wasn't cold enough for them. So let's talk about spring, because it's not just color, but it's energy flow.
Absolutely.
Is a big part of, you know, we talk about clairvoyance, and and your capabilities and helping people with different aspects of their life. But a lot of it has to do with the energy flow of life.
Right.
I mean, it's not, it's, it is the person and the people that they're connected to, but it's also the energy flow of the world.
Absolutely. And it changes. I do a monthly newsletter called Speaking Spiritually, which is,
you know,
free.
We haven't even mentioned the website.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Spirits, that's with an S at the end of it, spiritsevolving.com.
Right.
And then there's a second one now, right? LeeChanning.com.
Oh, yeah, that's, yeah. It goes to the same place, obviously. So, yes, I didn't even know I had that. My husband, you know, my husband just does all the computer work. So, thankfully, I don't have to do that. But, yeah, talking about seasons, you know, we all have an overlay of energy. You have your base energy, and then you have an overlay of problems, issues, growth things that you're working with. And then you can have an overlay of people around you, overlay of your job, an overlay of the weather, overlay of the season in general. So, you know, there are a lot of things that come into play when we are trying to create a life of contentment and of spiritual growth. So each season, particularly when the seasons are changing, in Virginia, it's, you know, April, you know, or April and May is sort of that spring and you feel it.
Somebody said April was our March.
true. Yeah. But everybody feels spring. I really do think most people, I shouldn't say everybody, most people feel spring more easily because everything is energized. There are, you hear the birds singing, the trees are getting green, the flowers are coming up. It's a very powerful season, as opposed to fall, that's a little bit easier. Fall, the leaves are falling, the days are getting shorter, you know, but summer and winter kind of sneak into us, you know. Spring is spring, and then there are a few hot days, and then you're in summer. So to me, of all of the four seasons, the spring is the most noticeable, the most powerful for most people, and that should be used to advantage, because if you can feel that energy of spring and you can let it permeate your energy, then you will want to do your quote spring cleaning. And I don't mean to clean your closet out, but your energy spring cleaning. Spring is such a good time to go into a new life energy, a new energy of, I do really want to take that class. I do want to go to yoga class. I want to start walking. You know, I want to plan my wedding. I want to move to California. Whatever. Spring is really a good time. And you can't just sit back and not use that energy. You want to make the best of every day. And spring is going to give you a little bit of boost. You know, if you want to wait till fall to look for a new job or to, it's going to be a little bit more difficult for, again, I would say 80% of the people, if not more. So use the spring energy. We're still there. You know, my birthday is this week, so I love spring anyway. Oh, not because I get a year older, but I've always loved spring. I remember when I was little, just the first little flower, the first little violet that came up, or the first dandelion that I saw, I just remember thinking, yes, you know, this is wonderful. And I still feel that way. And it's been a lot of years, so I'm not going to tell you how many, but it's really been a lot of years of feeling like spring is good. I'm not a fall person. I don't care about the orange leaves. Orange is not my color. You know, some people can hardly wait for fall. They just love that. So everybody can have a favorite season, but I suggest that everybody listening use the spring as a powerful boost, you know, sort of as a springboard for creating a new spiritual life. There's something that most of us want to do. Is there a book you've been putting off? Is there a class you've been putting off? Did you want to get a new job? Did you want to move? You know, use the energy now to start that process. Even if you don't finish it, it would be a good idea to start it.
But what are the, we always see the more powerful parts of each season. You know, we think about spring is, you see the grass grow and the flowers come up, right? In the summer, it's the thunderstorms. It's in fall, the leaves turn and come down. In winter, we see the snowstorms. But there's more subtlety to each season as well,
mm-hmm.
right? And so, which I would think has more daily effect on each of us. How do we turn turn that into our daily lives to make us happy?
Right, right. That's a good question, because it's like the colors. Every season has its really good things. I just described all the good about spring, but also the downside. How many people dread spring because of their allergies?
The pollen.
Oh, yeah. How many people, you can never get your car clean. How many people go, oh, dear Lord, I've got to start cutting the grass
right.
again. So there, every season has its ups and downs. So what you have to do is decide ahead of time, if you can, how to use the energy of the season in the best way. If you know you have allergies, you know, do your herbs, get your medications. I don't like medications, but sometimes there you have to do it. You know, have everything ready for the season. Don't let the season sneak up on you. The same for summer. You know, make sure your air conditioner is working if that's what you want, or you have your fans ready, or, you know, you have everything ready for the summer, the not so good part of summer, the hot, humid weather that doesn't make anyone feel very well. So you really want to have that ready for yourself. So, so I think you have to say, let's have a good season this season and focus on the positive. I mean, that sounds a little silly, but it's absolutely true. When you can say, okay, I know in the winter I'm going to dread the ice and snow. I don't like driving in it. You know, I don't care about any of these things. So I think, you know, we can, you know, here's the good part. What is the good part? Well, we have Christmas. A lot of people like Christmas. The days are nice and short. You can feel warm and cuddly in your house. You know, you can find something good. And I don't mean to be Pollyanna about it, but you really can. You can find good things in every season. But prepare yourself for it. We go through life too many times not paying attention. I see so many people that are that way. And before another year goes by and another year goes by, and you're not paying enough attention to your own personal growth.
You know, I'm going through, you talk about cleaning out the house, you know, the spring cleaning. So I'm doing some spring cleaning, and I go through and I find boxes of stuff. It's one of those old, if you moved it from the last house and you still haven't unpacked it, it's like throw it away. But it's a great idea, but you never know quite what you'll throw away. So you have to open it up, because maybe it was packed because you didn't know what to do with it. You know, I have a box full of what turned out to be a box full of things that was given to me from older generations that I don't know what to do with it, but they're, using the word sort of improperly, historic. You know, they come from my great-grandparents and my grandparents, whom I was blessed to know. But what are you supposed to do with a 1972 church directory that has pictures of, you know, my family and, you know, and everyone else in my family and people that I went to school with? I can't wait to get my phone out and take pictures of all these people I went to school with, you know, and their picture of them in like second grade and post that on.
I love it.
You know, Throwback Thursday on Facebook or something. But it's, you know, what do you do with those things except look through them and have a great Thursday night or,
right.
you know, while you're going and throwing some things away.
Right.
But
right.
And some of it going, oh, huh. It's too good to throw away, but I have no use for it. But, oh, I wonder if somebody's so-and-so would like that. Or, oh, mm-hmm. you know what? I'm going to sell that to Circa. Or, yeah. you know what? It's still in good shape, but I'm just going to give that to Goodwill.
Yeah.
Or, you know, decisions like that.
Right.
But then you find these pictures or old papers that you wrote at school or, you know, silly mm-hmm. things like that.
Yeah. But that's energy. I mean, that's an important thing. That really is an important thing because it's energy and it's one of those things that, you know, you do have to decide. If not, you leave it in a box and when you're gone, you know, 30 years from now, then somebody else will have to go through the box. So it's really, in today's world, it's easier. I've talked to some other people about this. With everything, with the digital, you know, you can take a picture of it. You can have certain cameras. You know, you can take the old church directory and you can go through and you take a picture of it and you put this and you have a record of it. So then you can get rid of the physical directory. You know, you can recycle that. You can change things and do things. And yes, give things away. You know, if you have a relative that you know really liked your Aunt Clara and she would love Aunt Clara's teapot, you know, give things away, because having a lot of old things sitting around is really not very good energy. You can have a home with antiques. I really don't do antiques very well, because old things, whether it's furniture or books, have a lot of energy. So you have to see how it feels to you. When you open that old box, if it's not something you really want, then maybe make that decision, it's time to let it go or donate it, because it is taking up some energy, not just space, but it's taking up some energy in your house. And you need to try to do that. They say if you didn't wear something one season, you know, get rid of it, give it to Goodwill. You know, we don't do that. I don't do that. I don't know of anybody that actually does that. Maybe after 2 or 3 years, and I really don't wear that. I don't like that color. I don't like the way it feels or something. Then absolutely get rid of it. But to hold on to old things, unless they truly are sentimental. You know, I have one little pot that was my grandmother's. I don't have boxes of things. But that one thing I like. You know, my aunt died a couple of years ago when she was 90, and she'd given me a little elephant that I had given her when I was younger. I have that. That's one little thing. That's very different than boxes. And I know people that have boxes, rooms full of things that belong to the family, and they feel the responsibility of not getting rid of them. One of my cousins went through all of her mother's pictures, put them in envelopes. Here's your family. Here's your family. Here's that family. Here's that. And she mailed them to us. You keep them. Or, you know, I'm not holding on to it, but it was perfect. It was a wonderful gift to get. You know, you got pictures that maybe you hadn't seen before, but, you know, so I think things like that do hold energy. And you can go through, if you like walking in your garage every day, how many people come to me about, I hate my garage. Well, it's because it's so cluttered and everything. At least straighten it up a little bit. You'd be surprised how far that can go just to feel like the room is organized. Clutter is from the heart center, okay? Clutter is that green energy. And I've had somebody recently, she cannot get well. She cannot feel good because she has been ill. She's been out. Everything in the house is so cluttered that now the clutter is holding her down. So it's finally to the point where your surroundings affect you. You know, you have to feel what it is and decide what you can do about it.
Lee Channing here, apparently telling me my house needs to be cleaned up. 11:39 here on the Sunday morning wake-up call. You're welcome to call and ask Lee about your house. Or your career, your health, your relationship. Dial us up, 434-284-9470. We'll take your call. And we're back in action here at WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville, talking with Lee Channing. You're welcome to talk to Lee Channing, too. Just ring us up, 434-284-9470. Lee, we're, you know, talk about the website, Lee Channing, spiritsevolving.com. You can also find Lee's book. We were talking about colors earlier, Intuitive Color Awareness Guide. People can go on the website and ask you a question if for some reason they listen to the podcast later. And so they feel like they've missed their chance to ask you a question. There's a spot there where they can go and ask you a question.
Yes, yes. And no charge for a question. Just, you know, if they want to have a reading later, all the information's on the website. But I'm always happy. And there's also an animal healing circle that I forget to mention sometimes. But I've had a number of animals on the circle lately, some that got well and some that passed on. But you can come and send me an email with the animal's name, a description, what's going on with the animal, you know, if the animal is ready for surgery or whatever. And then I put it on the healing circle, and people can go to the healing circle and read the animal's name and send the animal energy. And, you know, they can pray for the animal, send them energy, whatever their belief system is. But it's always very positive.
How about people who may need help in healing after the animal has passed on?
Oh, that I've been working with two different people now. Sometimes that is much more difficult, obviously, than the animal transitioning. You know, this very elderly dog died, and his human, I've heard from her probably 4 times. I mean, she is so distraught. And you always ask that question, did I put him down too soon? The vets, you know.
Or too late.
Yes, or too late. How long did the animal suffer? The vet said, I left him too long. I thought, you know, that is that's heart-wrenching, and I have been there. I think we all have. I had a blind cat who died at 21, a deaf cat just died at 19. My animals tend to be very elderly and then have all of these issues, and right now I have a three-legged cat and a one-eyed cat, but they are totally healthy at the moment. But I know that feeling, and of the four cats, my elderly cats that died in the last 3 or 4 years, two of them went on their own, and two of them I had to help. And, you know, having to help them was the harder decision. You know, you have to say, I watched their eyes. The last cat, it was no question. She looked right at me like, I'm ready now. I called the vet and said, today. You know, I just knew. It's not always that clear, you know, and you have to read your animal. With dogs, it's watch their eating, you know, watch how they're looking at you. Usually there are a lot of signs that if you open your heart to seeing it, it won't be as hard as it could be, but it's always difficult. You know, but animals need healing just like everybody else. You can put your hand on them, depending on what part of their body. If they have a heart problem and you know that, that's the green center. Pink is a healing color, so you want to surround them with a pink light. You want to put a pink blanket around them. You know, if it's a urinary tract problem, that's the orange center. So you want to put a blue blanket around them. Everything that you can do that's pointed to the energy is a good thing. But if you don't know, it doesn't matter. Just send them the energy. You know, you don't have to use a color, a specific color. You can just send them your loving, healing energy, and it works. You know, they pick it up. Animals are so pure. You know, animals pick up our energy so easily. And most people who've ever lived with an animal, dog or cat or any other animal for that matter, understand that. But if this might be your first cat and you don't know, is the cat sick? Just really watch them. Let them tell you. You know, when they're acting differently, you'll know. You know, cats can go downhill very, very quickly when they're ill. Dogs tend to go a little slower. So if you have a cat, you need to pay a little bit more attention up front. What's going on with this cat? A dog, well, not quite eating normally. I've seen that happen hundreds of times, you know, that you have to watch them a little bit more carefully. But, you know, and always err towards doing the loving thing, whatever that seems to be. But animals are our angels on this earth, as far as I'm concerned. I think they're here to help us as opposed to the other way around.
So I've been telling folks that they can call in if they choose. Again, 284-9470. It's 11:44, so there's still time to call if you want to be the first on the dance floor here with Lee Channing to make your call. It is Mother's Day. And as I said at the start of the show, not everybody has a good relationship with their mother.
Right.
And I've been telling folks, call up and ask a question about your career, your health, your relationships.
Mm-hmm.
What are there things to do? You know, you give sort of a basic suggestion about healing a dog with a color because of a specific health issue. Use a pink blanket for...
If it's a heart issue, the center of the body issue, right.
Are there colors to use? Are there other things to do if there's a relationship with a mother that needs repairing?
What a good question, Rick. You always ask the perfect question.
I got my bluish shirt on.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And you know, we'll focus that on mothers. If you know your relationship with your mother is filled with resentment or anger or anxiety or sadness, that tells you right there what, you know, if you sort of know a little bit about the colors. If you are angry at your mother all the time, she did something terrible to you 22 years ago, which I've had people sit in my office and say, but if you're angry with your mother, that's red energy. Red is anger. Red comes in, you know, no matter if you know you're angry with her, you're dealing with red energy. The healing color is blue. So put a blue light around yourself first. You can't help heal anybody else if you don't work on yourself. To have a better relationship with your mother, you need to work on you first. Doesn't matter what your mother is like, what kind of person she is, you need to not let it drain your energy. If you know that there's anger between you and your mother, maybe it goes both ways, you put a blue light around yourself. Put a blue light around her. You can't affect her if she doesn't want to be touched. You're not going to do that. If your mother yells at you all the time, you know, and you hear it all the time, you still hear it when she's not around. She yelled at you for years. You know, that's that blue center. That's the blue center that's out of balance. The healing is the opposite. The healing would be red. So wrap yourself in a warm red energy that says, I'm very protected. My mother's words are not going to bother me. Now, could be the other way. Maybe you're the one that yelled at your mother for all these years. You know, then you need to think about what you can do. Try to bring it down to specific energy issues. You know, there are many times when we have no idea why we don't get along with our mother, to make it specifically, you know, to the mother. You know, it's odd. When I think of my life, my mother died when I was a teenager. When I think back, I dream about my father. My father died when I was like 35, but I was an only child. So I dream about my dad every now and then. He comes in a dream. He's always very helpful and very nice. I never dream about my mother. I love my mother very much. We got along fine. She was ill a lot. She was a very, you know, a sick person. But it's interesting how sometimes our connection with our mother is not our closest connection in life. Sometimes your connection with your grandmother, your grandfather, your father, you know, so I think sometimes we put a little bit too much pressure on mothers to be a certain thing. So look at your life and say, you know, who has been, I sent a text this morning to a friend of mine and said, she doesn't have any children, but she's such a spiritual mother. She takes care of her friends. She takes care of her animals. And I said, Happy Mother's Day. You're a spiritual mother. You know, so, and being a mother I learned so much. I raised three children. I raised two boys and a girl, and they are one of the reasons that I can be who I am today. They colored my life so much with who they were and their issues, and every child is different. I think we choose our mothers. A lot of people don't want to hear that, but I think we choose our mothers so that we can create the spiritual life that we need in order to grow. I've had people go, absolutely not. You know, I don't want to be around my mother. And I've had people say, my mother is my best friend, the closest being to me in this world. And that's wonderful, you know, but sometimes lighten up a little bit. You know, human beings are never perfect. Your mother may not have been perfect, but try to think of the good things and just send her energy. If you don't have any ideas about colors, put pink energy. Put a pink light around your mother today. Even if she's gone, you can still work out issues. You know, see her as a beautiful spirit. Put a pink light around her. You know, look at a picture of her. Some people like to use pictures. That's fine. You know, but don't let yourself live in the negativity of it. You know, don't let yourself go there. Literally, I've had so many people go, well, I'm miserable. I'm 50, but I'm miserable because of what my mother, the way my mother treated me. She was mean to me. She yelled at me when I was 10. Grow up. I'm sorry. You know, it's time to get a grip. You know, let's be a spiritual being, not a human being is going to be hurt forever. A spiritual being lets it go. You know, be the Dalai Lama. Come and take a deep breath, let it go. You don't have to meditate or say om, but, you know, let life happen.
11:50 on the wake-up call. Our guest today is Lee Channing. We're talking about all kinds of things, colors and energy, spirituality. She is a clairvoyant here in the Charlottesville area. Here's a question for you, just a slight change on that, about helping relationships with mothers. I'm aware of a situation where the grandmother hurt the mother. And so the daughter wants nothing to do with the grandmother.
You know, how human is that? I'm serious. I mean, yes, it happens. And it can be understandable. You know, some things are so atrocious in families. Some things that have happened, and certainly we've all heard the horror stories. You know, bad people do bad things. You know, people do bad things. Sometimes good people do bad things. So you can't dwell on that. You have to move past it. But just because it's your blood relative, you do not have to continue to deal with it. I'm sorry. I told somebody recently, blood does not a family make. Love and respect makes a family. Those two things. If you have relatives that you have no love and respect for, then just move away gently. You don't need to be part of their lives. And you don't have to expect to have the perfect family. I know few families that I would consider perfect, but look around you. Your spiritual family may be the family that you're even closer to and that you can learn. Look at your mother and father and learn lessons. What do you want to be? How would you like to emulate them? You want to be just like this, or I don't want to do that. Let them be an example for the good parts of you and the parts of you that may not, you don't want to go there. So let your family be that example, but don't put unbelievable expectations on your mother to be all-knowing and all-loving, even though most of us are, of course. But, you know, every day you have to realize that you are an individual spirit. Your mother probably did the best she could with you, no matter how old you are, and you really have to decide to take responsibility for yourself. You're your own bright spirit. Go there.
All right, Lee Channing, helping us all a bit with Mother's Day. Don't forget, take a moment to let your mother know how important she is. And if it's not your blood mother, think of someone who acted motherly to you in your lifetime and let that person know how special she was for you, to you, and give her a call. Lee, if you go to the website, it's spiritsevolving.com. There's a page on there about dream journals. I know that dreams are a big part of the work that you do. Can you talk a bit about that?
Oh,
about,
sure.
Dreams. Do colors have anything to do with dreams?
Absolutely.
Do we dream in color?
Well, some people do, some people don't.
Does it make a difference if you do or you don't?
Absolutely. Because people who allow color to come into their dreams, they can learn an awful lot more from the dream world. It's our, you know, it's the universe trying to get through to us. It's our subconscious. Dreams are very powerful. And many people say, I don't dream. Or some people will say, they'll call me and leave a dream. They'll call my voicemail, like in the middle of the night. I just dreamed about, you know, a white unicorn. What does that mean? Or, you know, and for everybody, it's different. Don't buy a dream dictionary and say, you know, what does an apple tree mean to me? For some people, it's the most beautiful thing on the planet. And some people, apples make them sick and they hate the apple tree. So don't look, don't do that. Do it to you. You know, what is, you know, snakes. People go, oh God, I dreamed about a black, oh, you know, my daughter and I used to take in six snakes. We had pythons. I love snakes. They're powerful beings. So when I dream about a snake, it's a positive thing. And some people want to get out of bed and run because there was a snake in their dream, you know. So everything is different. But try to program your dreams. Keep a piece of paper by the bed if you can, because every movement takes away a part of your dream. If you wake up and you're lying very still and, oh, I had a dream about my father, and you'll remember it. But if you move, if you sit up, if you get up, you're going to erase some of it. So lie there and bring it all into your conscious mind first. Then you can sit up and write it down, or, you know, write down the highlights of it. You don't always have to write every detail, but write, I dreamed about my father. I dreamed about a unicorn. I dreamed about a pink elephant, whatever it may be. But if color comes in, that's even more important. When I dream in color, that's when it's powerful. That's when I definitely am going to remember what the dream was, who was in the dream, what the feeling of the dream was. Sometimes it might be exasperation or fear or total love and joy. You know, when my Pookie dog, my dog who died many years ago, comes to me in a dream, when I wake up, it's like I've got this warm blanket over my heart. I mean, it's beautiful. And yet I have some terrifying dreams like everybody else. I have these dreams where I'm running and I'm trying to get to the door, or I'm dialing the phone and you keep hitting the wrong number. It's just human frustration. You know, we all go there. But when you have colors in your dream, you really want to remember exactly what color and what that color means to you. If you dream about red, everything is red, you know, you may have a lot of anger, like, you know, in your energy at the moment. What are you angry about? If it's pink and it's relaxing and it's joyful, just enjoy what you're happy about. So
11:55 here on the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call. Just a few minutes left with Lee Channing. You can go to the Wake Up. I'm sitting here reading Wake Up. This is the Wake Up Call. You can go to the website, which is Spirits evolving.com or leechanning.com and learn a little bit more about colors and ask Lee a question and all kinds of interesting things with Lee Channing. So, Lee, I'm getting married at the end of June.
I heard that. Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm curious to find some tidbits on colors healthy energy behaviors and things that will keep me in the positive frame of mind and will keep my spouse to be in the, you know, because people always, you know, the stereotype is that the bride, you know, doing the wedding is often the most frustrating time because there's so much to do. And I want to help keep her in a healthy frame of mind as well. So what are the things to do for that?
Well, I mean, keeping your energy open is number one. You know, make sure that you are paying attention. If she's getting frustrated, slow that down and ask her questions. Let her know that you want her input. You probably do anyway. My guess is that the two of you communicate very well, but that's not the point. But say, what is her favorite color?
Yellow.
Yeah. So you know what her favorite color is. So what does that say? Yellow is the solar plexus. You know, I'm not going to read her energy too deeply, certainly without her permission, but it's the solar plexus, and it's about thinking clearly. It's about not being confused. She does not like to be confused. So you need to help her think clearly up front so that things are clear as you move forward. She doesn't want to go into the foggy, I don't know about this. Purple is her healing color. So you'd like to wrap a purple light around her when you see her getting frustrated. You know, just think, okay, her yellow energy is very bright and very active. That's where she has a lot of energy. So I want to buy her some purple flowers. I want to put a purple light around her, even if she doesn't know it. It's not going to hurt her. People will accept healing colors or not. That's entirely up to them. When you're sleeping at night, see her in your mind's eye with a nice purple light around her. That's only going to calm her energy. Purple is very calming for yellow. And yellow has very many bright aspects, but you can wear yourself out pretty quickly when you have a lot of yellow energy. So that's why you'll need some purple. You need the calmness. So that's where you need to go with her.
I can't just tell her we're just going to walk off. We have a license now. We can't just walk off and take care of this and be done with it.
Well, when Brian and I got married, we went up to Wintergreen, just eight of us, and we got married in an overlooking the mountains. And then a month or two later, and then we went to Norway, actually, and then a month or two later, we had a big party. You know, I invited all of our friends and family. So that was kind of fun and different because you don't have to worry about the wedding and the reception the same day. So
I tried that idea.
You'll do fine.
All right. Lee Channing, thank you so much for being here.
Oh, it was wonderful as always, Rick. Thank you for having me.
Happy Mother's Day to everyone out there, and happy Mother's Day to your mothers, whether they birthed you or just took care of you throughout life. Sean McCord will be here next Sunday, everyone. I'll be back in 2 weeks. WPVC wishes you the best.
This has been the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call on 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. The Wake-Up Call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Production assistance and engineering from Sean McCord and Mike Friend. Be sure to join Rick next Sunday morning at 11 a.m. for the Wake-Up Call, only on WPVC LP Charlottesville.